Now, in a change from its previous position, the Trump administration is seeking the overturn of the entire Affordable Care Act. In a letter to the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals, the Department of Justice said it supports a lower court's ruling that the law is unconstitutional and should be struck down. Last year, a group of Republican-led states filed a lawsuit that said because Obamacare's individual mandate was eliminated, the whole law is invalid. Back then, the Justice Department only called for two provisions to be thrown out, that insurance companies cover people with pre-existing conditions, and that insurers be prohibited from charging higher premiums due to those pre-existing conditions. President Trump made a brief comment on the change of position at the Capitol today.
The Republican Party will soon be known as the party of health care.
Julie Rovner is the chief Washington correspondent for Kaiser Health News and host of Kaiser's What the Health podcast. Julie, thanks for coming back on the show.
Thanks for having me.
Remind us of the argument those red states and now the Trump administration are making to say that the Affordable Care Act is unconstitutional.
Well, in 2017, Congress tried and failed to repeal and replace the Affordable Care Act. But one thing they did do was pass a big tax bill. And in that big tax bill was a provision that eliminated the penalty for the tax penalty for people who failed to have health insurance. They didn't actually take away the requirement for people to have health insurance because they couldn't do that using the method they did the tax bill. But they basically reduced the penalty to zero. And what the Republican states argued was that it was the tax penalty that allowed the entire law to be upheld back in 2012 by the Supreme Court. And so without the tax penalty, the rest of the law should necessarily fall. Now, most lawyers, including a lot of scholars who opposed the Affordable Care Act, thought that was a pretty dubious argument, but they found a judge who bought it and ruled in December that indeed the rest of the law has to be struck down. As you pointed out, that wasn't the Trump administration's original position. Their original position was only the provisions that were most closely connected to that tax penalty would need to be struck. And that's the requirements to for people with pre-existing conditions to be able to buy coverage and for them not to be charged more. But now, as you mentioned in this this two-sentence letter last night, the administration says, yes, we agree with the lower court's ruling and we will be supporting that.
Going back to why the Department of Justice only asked for those two provisions regarding pre-existing conditions to be thrown out, was that perhaps an attempt to keep it narrow enough to make their chances better of succeeding on it?
I don't know. I think it may have had as much to do with the politics of where things were with the 2018 elections coming up. Although, indeed, by saying they thought the pre-existing condition protection should go, those are the most popular parts of the law. So the Justice Department hasn't shared with us any of their reasoning, either on their original position or their new position. I talked to a Justice Department spokeswoman who basically just said, We've decided that we agree with the lower court, the district court judge's ruling. So they're not really sharing what their reasoning is.
As you said in December, that U.S. District Court judge in Texas sided with the Republican states and said that the law is unconstitutional. And that ruling was appealed. On what grounds was that appeal filed?
The appeal, and actually the brief on the appeal, was just filed last night along with that letter from the Justice Department. And basically they say, first of all, that there's no standing for this suit, that there are a couple of individuals involved, but if they don't have to pay anything, it's hard for them to demonstrate harm. The states are unlikely to be able to demonstrate harm directly, you know, from zeroing out the penalty. But even so, I mean, and I think the big part of their argument is that Congress had a chance to repeal the rest of the law, and it didn't. It very purposely repealed that one piece and left the rest intact. Now, it is true that the reason Congress didn't is because they didn't have the votes, but the fact is that, you know, you don't need to get to what they called the severability doctrine, where if you take a piece of a law out, does the rest of it have to fall? And these are mostly Democratic attorneys general argued, is that we don't need to get there because Congress made its decision. It decided to zero out the penalty and keep everything else intact. There's no reason to go any further. That's their basic argument.
We're talking with Julie Rovner right now. She's chief Washington correspondent for Kaiser Health News and host of Kaiser's What the Health podcast. And we're talking about a change in position by the Trump administration regarding the Affordable Care Act or Obamacare. And Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer voiced his disapproval of this change from the Senate floor this morning. Let's take a listen.
The move by the Trump administration is a slap in the face to American families, a devastating blow to Republicans who promised to protect people with pre-existing conditions. And how many of our Republican colleagues will go to the floor today and condemn the Trump administration? I'll bet not one.
Julie, are we hearing any pushback from the president's own party?
Not yet. I mean, there's so far, I think the members I've seen who've been asked this question have kind of tried to dodge it. This is going to be difficult for them because they've been saying all along that, well, we support pre-existing condition protections. And then they are asked, how do you support that? And that's not so clear. The problem in 2017 with their repeal and replace of the Affordable Care Act is they all agreed on the repeal and they couldn't agree on the replace. So it turns out to be very difficult, and so far we've seen Republicans not directly answering this question about what they want to do about this.
So this is a question that has come up with every legal challenge that has either been upheld or struck down or appealed or not. If Obamacare is struck down in its entirety and there's no health care law on the books to replace it, what happens then?
Lots of bad things, and that's according to people who both support and oppose the law. The Affordable Care Act is embedded into the U.S. health system right now. It's not just the people who buy their insurance through the health insurance exchanges. It's about 11 million people, or the people who've gotten expanded Medicaid. That's probably another 10 or 12 million people. It's everybody who's on Medicare. There were major changes to Medicare. People who buy generic drugs, there were major changes to how generic drugs are approved. People with employer insurance, letting your adult children up to age 26 stay on their parents' health plans, lifetime and annual limits. I mean, this was an enormous piece of legislation, and for a court to basically just cancel it would cause, basically chaos is what most healthcare analysts describe it as.
In a strange way, it feels like Brexit. Like the plan has been to get rid of something for a long time, but when the time comes, there's nothing in place.
Yes, I think that is a really good example. I don't think it's, I don't know whether it's as dramatic as Brexit or not.
I guess we'll see.
I hadn't thought about which would be more dramatic, but yes, I think that is a fair comparison.
House Democrats are expected to introduce legislation they say will improve the marketplaces and undo changes made by the Trump administration. What kind of plans do they have in mind, and is it going to go anywhere other than the House?
Well, they did it this afternoon. This is one of their campaign promises. They said they would shore up the Affordable Care Act, and they had actually planned today's event back last week. So it was just sort of fortuitous timing for the Democrats. They want to expand the availability of financial help for insurance a little bit further up the income scale. It turns out the Affordable Care Act coverage has been expensive for many, even if they could get coverage. They want to put back some of the cuts that the Trump administration has made to things like outreach. They want to restrict the short-term health insurance plans that don't cover very many things that the Trump administration has now expanded. So it's a combination of expansions and things that the Trump administration has done that they want to undo.
I'm guessing that this would probably be dead on arrival when it hits the Senate, however.
Yes, but I think this is more about trying to get it through the House and then going out on the campaign trail and saying, give us a Democratic Senate and we'll pass this.
And Julie, how much of an issue do you think healthcare and especially what kind of national plan is in place will play in the 2020 elections? Are you already hearing potential candidates staking out positions?
Well, what we've seen from the presidential candidates is they're mostly staking out positions on much more dramatic and sweeping changes to the healthcare system. What all the various flavors of Medicare for All or Medicaid for All or Medicare buy-in. That fixing the Affordable Care Act, though, is something that Democrats actually can agree on, unlike Republicans who have trouble on healthcare agreeing on things. So I'll be interested to see, what the candidates do, whether they say, well, maybe we should fix the Affordable Care Act first and then go on on to push for Medicare for All. It depends sort of how they read the voting public. But one thing.
And we'll have to leave it there. Julie Rovner is the chief Washington correspondent for Kaiser Health News and host of Kaiser's What the Health podcast. She joined us to talk about the Trump administration's change in position on the Affordable Care Act.